Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June.
What's happened, my friend?
I know.
Since we last convened.
I guess we knew why you were so angry. The COVID was coming for you.
COVID was there.
It was already there.
Yeah. COVID was coursing through my system when I said the fun was over, because it was.
You know, legitimately canceled your plans.
Yeah. I got COVID canceled. Shocking stuff.
I really thought like there was going to be a ballad written about some of us for having avoided it fully. Like, you know, there must have been somebody who avoided the Spanish flu, you know, and they would write songs about
and
them.
Listen, one of the worst parts for me is because I had such a close brush with COVID.
Yeah.
Earlier in the year. And yeah. I mean, one of my children had it. And so I was sleeping with the enemy, you know, so to speak. I really was.
Yeah.
I was with COVID.
Hey, sorry. I want to get you down to this. Do you see what I'm wearing right now?
Oh my God.
Okay. The ladies at Varsity Pickle. Okay. There are two moms who are best friends who started a line of merch called Varsity Pickle. And it is the softest sweatshirts and the shirt and the perfect hat that has an embroidered pickle on it. Okay. And they sent us matching pickleball outfits.
Those are them?
Yes.
That's the outfit?
Yes.
Oh my God, I love it.
Jessica, but shirt, there's a matching shirt that goes under it. It all says pickle. Some of them just say pickle. Okay. And I'm telling you, I've been living in this stuff. And they said, and there's a warning in the note they sent, they said, this will cause small talk wherever you go. Like, because pickle enthusiasts will find you. And that's been the case. So I just wanted to say, like, and also their merch is so soft. So I, because June was very smart in saying, I do not have the bandwidth for this, Jessica. I am taking on the merch challenge. Okay. And I have already reached out to them and I said, where is this from? Because when we do roll out Deep Dive merch, and this was your idea too, June, it has to be quality. We need high quality softness and richness and luxuriousness in our Deep Dive merch. And so it will come correct when it comes.
I have so many sweatshirts, and especially, you know, I'm sure you can relate, like wrap gifts and, you know, where you get a sweatshirt and it's like, that's your cozy wear and it's a hard sweatshirt. It's hard and it doesn't give. And it's not like that looks so soft, Jess. And I'm going to tell you the softest sweatshirt I have right now is from the most surprising place.
Where?
Disney.
I went to Disney. I'm not surprised.
Actually, why am I surprised?
They know something about customer service, and so will we.
I went to Disney for like the Halloween, like, I don't know what it was called. Maybe I have COVID right now. Some sort of Halloween bash.
Yeah.
And I got too cold in my costume. And I thought, I'll just run over here and spend like $1,000 on a sweatshirt because I have to, right? Yeah. And I bought this sweatshirt. I guess it's from Iron Man. I don't know. Someone told me it was a Tony Stark sweatshirt. I can't get it off my body.
Yeah.
It's so, and I actually don't care what's on it because it's so soft.
Oh, it's so
cozy. It's like nothing I've ever seen. And I'm like, why make a sweatshirt at all if it's not going to give you that experience?
Thank you. So it may take me a little longer. I don't know distribution. I don't know anything from distribution, but I do know that you and I are going to be showing up on the pickleball courts in matching outfits. And it's going to blow people's minds. I had no idea they looked like this. Oh, and wait till you see the hat. Perfect hat.
Wow. Pickle. I had no idea. This is so cute on you. Wow. A pickle on it?
Pickle.
An actual pickle?
Yes, wow. An embroidered green. It's like a hunter green hat with an embroidered green pickle on it. It's so cute. And I'm just loving that these moms are like just putting out this merch and doing it right and like helping us live our best lives on the court.
You know what? I didn't know actually, like there was a question I was going to ask about pickleball, which was like, do you wear, you know, a tennis outfit to pickleball, or is it?
I mean,
like,
I've never played. I have the merch, but I've never once played. But I love us in skirts, and I would love us in like a little active skirt, like a little tennis skirt. I mean, that's the best part about tennis. Is the
outfits. My God. Well, this just gave me like a COVID boost.
Yeah. So that's coming for you.
Well, I'm glad to know. And deep divers, you know, first of all, I did post about having COVID and so many people wrote the loveliest things. And I was so appreciative. And I am truly, totally fine. I did have symptoms, not going to lie.
I
haven't been sick in 2 years. So
that's right. Your immune system's a little bit down.
Yes. And I am incredible. And just it was surprising to be sick because I just haven't.
Yes.
Been, you know, but I am, God damn it, so grateful for the vaccines. And I'm so grateful to have stayed out of like a serious illness and just total gratitude. Now I will say, is it surprising? I got to get a test to have your partner, the 15 years report that you're positive and then scream, I got to get out of here and run out of the room. And I'm not saying he was wrong to, by the way. Like, we have two kids to take care of. Like, I don't want him to get it. I don't want us to both go down, right? But it is just a surprising event to be in a time of need and to see everybody you love run away from you. You know, it's just like, it's like an interesting experience. You know, it's an interesting experience.
Of course he didn't get it, too. That's just Paul. I told you, like, he is going to profit off of these dark times. He is a coal miner. He is a gold rush. You know, he's panning for gold. He's surviving diphtheria. Like, he is just a survivor.
Listen, he didn't get it. No one else around. You know what? I think I got it from a fucking guy on an airplane. Mm-hmm. Because I was in New York. I was with people, for sure. Nobody else who got it. Everybody tested multiple times. I cannot trace it anywhere, but to a gentleman on an airplane who's behind me without a mask on. Complained.
Wait. You're not allowed to be without a mask?
I had several words with the flight attendant, but...
Wait, he wasn't wearing a mask?
He had one. He was a chin surfer.
Fuck that. I'm surprised you didn't turn around.
You know what? I was in an emotional place. I had it's always hard for me to go back to Long Island. It's always hard for me to go. Went to my parents' grave site, brought my youngest child with me. We actually, it snowed and we had a snowball fight in the cemetery, which I know, believe me, nobody else was there, but it was quite beautiful.
Your mother loved
it.
Your mother and father loved that.
Beautiful. So, but it's always a trip that brings up kind of a lot for me. So I was we had also fucking missed every flight was delayed.
Of course.
I was just like, get me home. Okay.
Yeah.
And I did think about turning around and talking directly to him, but I was like, you know, I am in an enclosed space with a small child who's asleep on my lap. Like,
no, it can't get ugly. What if it gets ugly?
It can't, and it could so easily. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I was like, these flight attendants, what these fucking passengers put them through, like, why they have to be like little security guards, it's all so upsetting. But anyway, but I know he had his mask off for the majority of the flight. I just know he did. And I was with my N95, you know, and blah, blah, blah. But I did take it down a few times to have a sip of water and like scarf down some Cheez-Its. And anyway, I got, you know, Listen, I got COVID. And I do want to tell everybody, it's not a moral failing to get COVID.
God, no. Like, what?
You know what I mean? I know, but so, I do feel, and there are people who take enormous risks, but for so many of us who are really careful and follow all the guidelines, like, we're still going to get it. And just another reminder to get vaxxed if you haven't. Just go do it. Like, no biggie if you haven't. Just get there and get your shots, because I can't imagine what it would be like.
Well, I'll tell you what it would be like, because my neighbor, who I just saw for the first time in like a year and a half, she is a therapist at a hospital on the West Side. And she looked like she'd been through a war. Like, she looked hollowed out. And I said, how are things? And she said, this last surge was the worst. And I said, the worst? And she said, it was, because 90% of the people who came in with it died. 90%. Oof. And they were all unvaccinated.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then she said, and I don't want to be a downer on this podcast, and I really just hope if anyone's listening who hasn't been vaccinated, please hear this story. But there was a couple, they were in their 90s and they were dying together. They both died in the hospital. And they're on the phone with the family who will never see them again. And the doctor said, you guys have been vaccinated, right? And they said, no, you know, we got COVID like a couple months ago, so we're good. And there was so much misinformation and so much, and I guess that's what I think was in her eyes, was this sense of the senseless death. It's like one thing when COVID came and there was no vaccine and we couldn't stop these people from dying.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is senseless. And I think that's probably what it feels like during like a world war, where you're like, why are these people dying? They don't have to, you know?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So please. And God damn it too, I'm running into people you don't expect who are telling you they haven't vaccinated their kids. They haven't. And it's like, oh, the fuck.
I'm here to report from the other side that it is not fun. And I am thrilled to have gotten through it with such a mild case. And yeah. But Jess, it was really weird because the fun certainly was over for a bit there.
Yeah.
You know?
And I was out there, to be honest, representing, because I left the last thing, the last tablescape, you know, episode. And I was like, I'm committed to like living my life. So when I tell you, Lennon and I, with our families, have been on the beach 2 weekends in a row.
Wow. Wonderful.
Beach life. A college friend came into town last minute. She was in Santa Barbara. I said, come down. I'm clearing the day. We ended up oysters on the half shell. You know,
oh,
just
God,
like,
I love it.
And then I said, why don't we get together a bunch of moms? I don't really know that well at the, you know, at where BB goes to school. I said, let's get together. Now, did I fuck up our reservation? Did I not realize that until 20 minutes before we were supposed to meet? Did I save it? And did it end up being a better location? And did we end up staying until they turned the lights on?
Wow.
Yeah, we did.
I love this, Jess.
We did. We turned it out and up and all over the place.
Jess, I love this.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were sharing.
So it's funny. It's interesting. Like, maybe you and I are in some sort of like parasitic relationship. Like, when I went down, like I went down so you could
turn up.
Yeah, like, because I think the two of us out and about at the same time, you
too
know,
much vibrational energy
going. It's a little bit too much. It's a little bit too much, actually.
Yeah. And again, people were, I said, let's surprise ourselves, you know, tonight.
Yeah,
and the
baby.
Way we surprised ourselves is we were the last ones in this neighborhood with the lights on. And, you know, it was a night.
I love that for you. You deserve a night.
Yeah.
I want that for you. And again, I'm glad I was inside and in isolation. And I'll tell you, things get weird when you're alone by yourself. Things get weird, man. Things get
well,
creepy.
You know, at first you think that's what you want because you never get the time. But then the reality of having the time is pretty strange. So nobody could come in. I mean, obviously
nobody
your children.
Came in.
What? Even the one who'd had it?
Nope.
Oh, fuck.
Because the reason why I didn't do that is because I felt it would have been too hard on, you know, my other child if I only let one in.
That's strange. Yeah, that I'm sorry. That is absolutely would be strange. And I do, and I have heard that this can be a bit traumatic for the children not to be able to see mommy for 5 days.
Oh, it was very horrible. And I look back and I'm like, it might have been easier to go to a hotel. But I was already sort of here. But to hear your children cry outside your door, laugh, you know, all of it, hear the chaos and just listen is very
strange.
Really weird. Real weird. You know, real weird. And then sometimes I was like shooting off angry texts where I was like, why isn't this happening? And somebody's got to deal with that in the other room.
Wow.
And it's like, I can't, who am I to say anything about?
I know, but we have to still say it. It must be like what, you know, in Jane Eyre, where that the crazy ex-wife, the wife is up in the attic.
That's exactly what it felt like.
Hearing, you know, the goings
on. Miss Havisham or whatever her name is.
Yeah, that's a different one. That's Great Expectations. But yeah, she's up there and then she burns the house down. She gets so angry about it all.
That's right. God. Yeah, it was really weird. And, you know, what I'm disappointed in is how I sunk into the filth of my room.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could tell you I was like opening up the blinds.
No.
And like making the bed and, you know, keeping things tidy. But my encampment was disgusting.
Yeah. No one else was seeing it.
Yeah, and that's really a revelatory of like, how do you care for yourself and your surroundings when no one else is there? And turns out, I use it as an excuse to let it all.
Me
rip.
Too. But you know, it's like Howard Hughes when he was locked in there, and you know, Leo DiCaprio peeing in bottles, and you know,
exactly,
and getting things
man.
Delivered.
Like,
yeah,
I. At one point, I took a photo of like what my bed was because I had really just, I was really just using one side for sleeping and then the other side. The other side was like my computer was there, but then like I found two tops of like wrappers, you know, from that were on the tops of pill bottles and then like a stray pill, you know, a bunch of tissues. Like it was really, and like several like bobby pins. It was just a,
like
just
you think
really...
about all that you could have gotten done. You know, you could have been like, Paul, deliver us.
Well, now listen,
you know.
I didn't feel well.
No, that's true.
So that's the other piece of it. Yeah. Like I know I wasn't someone who was like had no symptoms. And even now you can hear I'm still a little congested.
Yeah.
But I.
No, and you were tired too, right? Like, doesn't it make
you very
tired? I was just
sick. I mean, yeah. I was fully sick for 2 days. And then after that, like, everything was starting to resolve and I was getting better every day. But I genuinely was like, if I had been feeling better, but I don't know. Even when I did start to feel better, I still, you know, sat.
You know, I heard Beyonce after a really big show, you know, she'll just take a day where she doesn't get out of her bed and she watches TV the entire day. That's how she recharges.
I love that.
She also does her own makeup like Sasha Fierce. She turns into Sasha. She does her own makeup for shows. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
She brings her palette and she takes an hour to do her own makeup to transform into Sasha Fierce.
You know, what's so interesting about that is like, you know, like theater actors are trained to do on Broadway their own makeup.
Do they? Is that true?
Yeah, sweetie. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really? They don't have makeup artists. This makes sense. They don't have it. But I thought in a professional like Broadway production, you would have a makeup artist.
No.
Wow.
I mean, unless it's like specialty makeup, but like in acting school and conservatory, like there's training on how to do your makeup.
Wow.
Like age makeup, you know, and stuff like that. Because, and you get your call time and you bring your makeup kit and like you're there, you have to do your own makeup. But there's something, and I have worked with a number of actors who do their own makeup.
Wow.
And consider it a part of their artistic process of transformation and like putting on their mask, you know, putting on their character. Yeah. And I've also worked with some actresses, like movie stars who, you'd be surprised, I won't name names, but do their own makeup because they're like, well, my character does her own makeup.
Wow.
And so why would I?
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
It is fascinating. And listen, I'm dabbling in the idea of wearing false eyelashes all the time.
Okay. We need to carve out the next
trip,
however much time we have left to just talk about this.
So my makeup artist, Alexis Walker, who you know is extremely talented and is also one of my best friends, this was back when I thought I was going to do my own makeup for Tamron Hall. And I hadn't told you, but I was like, I'm just going to do my own makeup. Like, how hard can it be? And, you know, Alexis, she really, she humors me.
Straight. She does?
For a beat. And then when I texted her, like, why do I look orange? And she was like, because you're self-tanning. Like, I can't do this again with you. Like, this is an abusive, you know, relationship at this point between us. Like, she's like, I don't know how many times I have to tell you this. But at one point she had sent me some links. And hold on one second. I do need to get the product because it's truly life-changing.
Okay, please.
Okay. So I do have eyes, too, that really need lashes. I can never appear on camera without lashes. I have, you know, a face that when we had a bunch of the people from RuPaul's Drag Race on Playing House, they said that I have a face for drag, you know. I can handle as much makeup on my face as a drag queen.
You can. I'm sorry. I just you cut out for 1 second. You can have enough.
I can handle as much makeup.
Can I?
Okay. Well, I'm gonna post myself in drag, and you can see how good I look.
Listen, I have said to makeup artists, like, people like to make fun of the way the Kardashians look. And I'm like, mm-mm. I think they look fucking great.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Like, this is an unpopular opinion. And actually, Alexis and I go back and forth about this because I do remember her saying that. But Khloe Kardashian looks phenomenal.
Best she's ever looked.
Every goddamn picture. Her life falls apart more and more, and she looks better and better. So, yes. So, like,
I really resent is when men love to say, and I can't tell if I'm screaming now because I'm in a different audio setup. Okay. But I really resent when men are like, oh, that's too much makeup, or it's too, and I'm just like, go fuck yourself.
Exactly. I like a woman.
I like a natural. No, you don't.
You don't.
Fuck. You don't.
You don't.
And go fuck yourself.
I don't care what you want.
And I don't care.
I don't care what you want.
I don't care what you like or don't like or think you like or don't like.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care. So, at any rate, you know, listen, our mothers in the 60s, they used to get up and put on their false eyelashes. Like, that's just what went down, okay? And they all looked phenomenal, okay? Goldie Hawn, you think she was wearing her own eyelashes? Anyway, so but I've never been able to apply them to myself. It's too difficult. I couldn't figure it. They slide over or whatever. Anyway, this is the lash. It's called Kiss, and I got them on Amazon. Ever Easy, E-Z. Lashes. Okay.
Okay. I'm seeing them. Okay. They I love that little tweezer.
So natural. And the tweezer is everything. And you just pop them on. You don't have to cut them.
I don't like that word natural.
No. Natural in that I could wear these and people wouldn't necessarily know that they're false.
Wow. Now, you know, I have such a relationship with false eyelashes because I love them so much. But I don't know how to put them on myself.
That's my point. I don't know what it is about this, but it's so easy.
And you've done it yourself?
Yes.
I'm adding to cart today.
Yeah, they're like
$4. Wear them every day. I would literally wear them every day.
They're $4, and then you get the duo. You know this, the duo glue. Get it in black because you don't want it. And then you just put a little bit of mascara on top of them, and you can reuse these for I don't know how long. I haven't done it more than 2 days, but like, God damn it, did it give me a lift?
Wow, Jess.
God damn it, did it give me a lift?
Well, they always do. That's the thing. It's like, and I've always said this, there's some people who are like, God, if I had nothing else, I'd grab a tube of lipstick and throw on lipstick. And for me, you know, that's going to be mascara. Like if I'm nothing without it.
Of course you're not. But I also don't have, my eyelashes are the one things that didn't really come back full. They were never there. You know, they were just never there. And like, I've always worn a strip. Like, I've always on TV, you never see me without a strip. And I'm like,
me
why
neither.
Do we look our best on TV, but not in life? Fuck this.
I never thought to ask myself that. Myself that question.
Yeah. So that's
And I'll tell you, I don't even like individuals. I'm like, give me a strip.
The strip. I don't know. Check back with me. You know, this might be one of my things that I say I'm going to do and then I don't do. But check
well,
back
listen,
with
it's
me.
Sort of like I do feel like this is a very natural evolution from where we left off last week with our tablescape episode. Yeah. It's like this is a tablescape of sorts,
you know,
it sure and is. It really is a different scape. But it is a different scape. But it's like, when are we willing to bring out the good china? Only when we're working?
Thank you.
You know, now I did want to follow up from last week's episode, Jess, because there are, first of all, I should have known, but that tablescape episode
really caught fire.
Okay, now we've talked about a lot of things on this podcast. Grief, illness.
Yeah. Bared our soul.
Bared a lot of shame.
Yeah.
Embarrassment.
Yeah.
Really sort of like shadowy feelings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The shadow self. Like
our shadow selves. And, you know, the parts of ourselves that like, that aren't comfortable.
Right.
Okay. And
right.
Put that out there for our community of deep divers. And it's like unfortunate and telling and about of you all, deep divers, that the episode that seems to have hit the hardest and to
tablescapes. And also
tablescapes.
Oh God, I just want to say, whenever we, and I don't even know if we did a call to arms because we were kind of like, who knows how that ended. You were screaming. I was screaming at you. But everyone shared their tablescapes with us, and then we reshared.
Oh,
God damn it. Did I love...
And
one
I couldn't
woman,
even get hit the reshare button quick enough. There were so many coming in.
There still are. So many beautiful, and some of them were Christmas tables that had been set that never got to be used because of COVID. One of them, which I have to ask the deep diver if I can repost, but she didn't send it as a story. She just sent it to me. This woman threw herself a divorce party. Congratulations on my divorce. The tablescapes were outrageous. The cake had plumes aplenty.
Wow.
We finally did it. Love yourself. There was all this inspirational shit. All these girls were decked to the nines. It was like a brunch. It was a celebrate my divorce brunch.
I love that. Now, and I want to say something because I did have some feelings come up when I saw all the scapes coming in and the, you know, rabid sort of response to the episode. And I was like, oh, are we sending out a message that's reinforcing that, you know, women need to like be these domestic goddesses?
No.
And, you know, because, you know, I resist that and I struggle with that. Like,
sure.
I struggle with the domestic realm. And I think so much of this podcast has been about how you and I feel, you know, sometimes really lost there.
Yeah.
And I just want to be clear, like, whether you can scape or not scape, like, our value isn't tied to our escaping skills. And I also loved, here's what I loved, is the number of women who wrote to me, and of course, obviously I didn't write them back, but the number of women who reached out to say, absolutely, if you're scaping, you're not cooking. Yes. And I really want to put a, I want to put a fine point on that.
Yes.
If you are scaping, you are not cooking. Now, no, I know Cool Up said she scapes the day before and she does it all. And that's wonderful for her.
But Cool Up is different. No, but Cool Up is an, as I said, we don't have anybody on to talk about this. Not an expert. She's an expert. Not the rest of us are lay people.
And but also, you know, it's knowing one's capacity. Like when I told you I couldn't take on the merch, like knowing one's capacity is really important and so what important. Our bandwidths are and what we are capable of doing. And the power of saying, like, there's no fucking way I'm cooking.
No way. This has released me. I don't ever have to cook.
Ever.
For people. I don't, because that would stress me. I never have to cook for people, but I am, I love the idea of learning escape. I'm excited about the escape.
Me too.
People are sending me recommendations for linens. You know, everybody was sharing that kind of stuff. I'm so excited about that part of it. And now that I've lifted off this burden that I have to cook, it's like, hallelujah. Now I can enjoy myself.
Yes. Yes. And I do think, you know, whether we like it or not, and sometimes we do, like that's the, also, by the way, like a part of the reason why I'm fraught with like my domestic labor is because there are things that I do enjoy. I enjoy escaping. And I did send you a video last night of escape I had done. And you thought it was Cool Up. So we were on a thread with Cool Up. And you said, wow, Cool Up, that's amazing. And I said, Jessica, that's my escape.
I was shocked.
And you were surprised. And you said, I didn't know. I thought it must have been Cool Ups. And I said, no. That was a video of escape I had done for my sister's birthday.
You sent me that devil emoji. That little devil. Is that angry devil emoji? Yeah. And I said, I admit it. I understand. No. I did think, wow, that's minimal for Cool Up.
And you know what? I'll take that feedback because actually... I was looking at that scape. I was like, I'm missing
a layer,
placemats. And I did, I'm missing placemats and I didn't have an outdoor runner for that table. So I learned things too. And I'm fine to say that.
Textures. Yeah.
I was missing textures.
But what a beautiful, you had beautiful. And I just, and again, I don't want to turn this into another scaping, but your plates were gorgeous. And what were they?
Thank you.
Tell me. What were they?
I wish I knew the name of them. Like they're just Crate and Barrel white plates.
Really,
and I'll try to find what they are, but they're very simple. I like a simple white plate.
That's very, really, really elegant. And also what I liked about those is that they could be go modern. They could go traditional. Like you don't have to decide.
And to me, those are really plates that are, they're also everyday plates. So those are not special plates. I don't believe in like special, except for the holidays, like having china that you can't take out. Now you did reveal in a text to me in Cool Up. And again, I don't want to, this episode is not about scapes, but it also is not about scapes because there's just, it turns out there's some follow-up that we need to do and some, you know, you revealed in that text thread that your china is in the garage.
My mother was so upset. Because I screenshot the text because I knew my mom would love that we are even going back and forth about china. It's like her dream. Because we fought so hard about the china when I registered. She was like, you got to register for china. I'm like, stop trying to control me. Like, I mean, I literally think we had a fight in the parking lot. And you know how in New Jersey or Long Island, where you go to register is the most bizarre old woman that you don't go to a department store. There's always like an old lady who has a china shop. That's what happens in New Jersey. And you go in and she writes it out like what you want.
I don't know from this. Okay.
It was wild. It was wild. But I remember the hot summer day. I was like, this is bullshit. It turns out best thing. I mean, my most favorite thing. But she was like, why are they in the garage? What are they packed in? Oh, my God. Get them out of the garage, Jessica. She's so upset.
So why were they in the garage?
That's a really good question.
That's a really good question, huh?
Like, I don't deserve those nice things out and about. I don't know.
But what's interesting is I don't deserve them out and about. So let's put them in the place where, like, trash ghost.
Yeah, there's like a lawnmower out there. It's so crazy.
it's crazy. Like, I also, on behalf of them, feel like they don't also deserve to be in there.
But they really don't.
They don't deserve that treatment.
They deserve to be out and about and be seen. They're so beautiful. It's like heart when you see them, and I am going to figure out the tablescape. I'm going to practice it. I'm going to photograph it before you girls come over. But when you see them, they are just like absolutely stunning. That was a bomb that got dropped, keeps her up still at night. This is the kind of stuff. And
what are they wrapped in?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it because if she hears about it, she'll be so
upset. Don't talk about Bruno. Whoa, really?
They're
Jess.
Not safe enough. Let's
Can
put
you
it that
chat
way.
Put it in the chat and I won't say it. Just put it in the chat. What are they wrapped in?
Oh. Oh no.
So they're going to be liberated. They will be liberated. These plates will be liberated. I promise you, they will. Today.
I'm excited. And I just guess I feel like, you know, I do think you're going to find yourself to be a natural tablescape artist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really think so. I feel that for you. And I think it was especially important for you and me to validate and hear and also say aloud that we will not cook or even make a pot of coffee.
Yeah, that's liberation.
You know, even the idea of like putting together like a water pitcher with ice in it, like I'm going to do pre-made, that might be too much.
Honestly. I mean, that might be too much. Like maybe there's just Perrier bottles, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. And I just really want to like get clear on that you find like a wonderful artist and you don't say, oh, what a beautiful painting. Did you also make the frame?
Well, guess what? Also, those big landscapes, you know, those landscapes of like Venice in the 1800s, they would have other artists paint the background and they would come in for like the big pieces.
Yeah, this is exactly right.
Yes. Yeah, so,
this is exactly yes. right. And I do feel that this is going to move people toward hosting and being together and being in conversation and witnessing and testifying to each other's lives and their stories, changing each other. That's what it's all about. And what can keep us away as women a lot of the time, and know it does for me, is this pressure of like, what does it all have to be? What does it all have to look like?
It's so crazy.
It's so crazy.
And it's so necessary that we gather right now, because I have to say, I had to go back for something for BB school. I had to go back and get videos of her from the past 2 years. June, I took a dive that was so emotional and I didn't expect it, of what we've done without. And how she was a baby, literally, when this started, and how she's now a girl. And you see your pre-life before it hit, and then you see the beginnings of it where you look, and then you see the middle of it. And I know we're supposed to celebrate ourselves in all shapes and forms, but boy, oh boy, that people had to look at that. I was,
oh, the hair, the outfits, like you can see the depression. Like you can.
Yeah.
And then we had some moments of joy mixed in, but like, we've been through it, guys. Like, we deprived ourselves for 2+ years of our lives.
And listen, I don't think we are going to be able to process it without each other, you know, and without being together. It's just so important. And there are ways to really do it safely. Obviously, I'm still, you know,
in a mask indoors because I'm still within my period of like I left isolation, but I still have to be in a mask. So Paul is still sleeping in another room and blah, blah, blah. So I know I'm not the best person to talk about this right now, but I do believe that there are now so many ways to keep each other safe and to do this safely.
We need each other. We need each other.
We really do.
And I don't think I could have looked back until it feels, and I know, listen, you know, Dan was like, I don't think you can say this is done. And I know that we're going to have other versions of this crop up. But there is a lightning. And I will tell you, on that beach, there is a lightning.
Yes, there
People
is.
People are here
yes,
in a festival atmosphere. Okay.
Yeah.
And I am going to lean into the now, which is that we can let ourselves enjoy. But you can't really process what happened until you feel like you're kind of a little bit more safe. And so,
that's so true,
guys. It is a dive. I don't know if I recommend you doing it unless you have to. But there is something to going back into those albums and just looking at that 2 years have passed. It feels like, in a lot of ways, it feels like a week, and that's what's crazy
when you
see your child grow in that time.
Well, I have such an interesting experience with photos of the kids because we have this frame in the kitchen, and it's like a digital frame that puts all the pictures up. And I don't know what's going on with me, but I don't like to look at
pictures. No.
It makes me too sad.
I know. And I was like on the verge of tears the entire time. What's that about?
I don't know, because I do feel like, you know, I do feel like parenting and seeing your kids, seeing time go by through and seeing their childhood go by, it's so beautiful and painful and joyful, and you know, and I do feel very much so like I grab it and I grab this time with them and I'm not coasting, and I'm proud of that. But when I see the pictures of them littler, they're still little. I don't know. It takes me back when I want to stay in the net. I have a hard time with it.
And I think that, yeah, we're always dysregulated, so that's part of it. But I agree, because it's not that every phase doesn't get better and better. Like,
I don't want to go back either.
I don't want to go back. And there's going to be so many more moments and times for joy to come. But I feel the same. It's why I couldn't get out of BB's bed. I mean, she finally said, I really need to get better sleep. You need to stop laying down with me in the middle of the night. When I call you, it's to get some water. It's not for you to lay down.
Yeah.
I was in the crack, trying to sleep in the crack all night, Jessica. God, Jess. You know, it's my mama. And so I was like, yeah, that's on me. But yeah, and I do feel like a lot got stolen from them this last 2 years. And you know, I don't like to stay in the sadness of anything. But I do want to just...
No, I know. I know.
Childhood is really stolen that we can't get back.
I know, Jess.
And that made me really sad. You know, so I just think we have to make up for it. Enjoy now. And that's
Girl,
a
I'm ready.
Great to-do list of going...
Listen,
like,
I said the fun was over. It's back on.
It's back on.
It's back on. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. And it is connected. You know, I didn't know why we were talking about small talk. I didn't understand it. I had a better understanding of tablescaping, but all of these things, the Lifelong Learner series, I'm realizing there's more than meets the eye there. You know, there
it's
really
about
is.
Savoring and enjoying your life and not just getting through it. Not just getting through your errands or getting through dinner.
Correct. Getting through this week. The number of times I felt like, okay, you got to make it through this week, sweetie. And it's like, you can keep on making it through weeks until you're dead. But I have felt that. And what I love about the tablescape, art of tablescaping, is like,
And I didn't know this was going to be a recap episode.
Yeah.
So watch what happens. We're just going to be recapping.
Live of our own podcast.
Yeah. So disturbing.
Yeah.
The true height of narcissism.
Yeah.
To recap a conversation we just had. And who knows if next week's not a recap of this week. But this recap. But I do think that what I'm like really interested in is doing escape for the sake of escape.
Yeah.
You know? For the sake of it.
Not for the holiday, not for strangers.
Not for the fucking holiday. And not for not to fulfill some sort of idea of like feminine, you know, responsibility or whatever that is, but doing it for the hobby of it all, for the HOBBY.
Yeah.
And the bringing togetherness
of people.
And that's what thrills me.
Yeah.
That it's not, we're not making money off of it. Now, of course, we're going to be making content off of it.
Of course.
Because
you got to eat. I guess someone's got to pay for that takeout.
I know, but, you know, and I know that's a slippery road, right? But whatever. Who fucking cares? Like, we're going to be taking our pictures and sharing them with our community. But I just love it. I love it for... Now, please know that when I was setting up my escape for my sister's outdoor dinner, I did yell at all of my family members. So I still am not, and told every family member before my sister arrived that they had done nothing to help me.
Yeah.
And all of that was true.
Yep.
So I'm still not in a place of like that was still true. But, you know, I'm still glad I did it. And in terms of where I know I can go with my level of resentment, and it was simply at a 4 or 5.
Right.
And that's progress for me.
It is progress. And as you get more skilled at it and more comfortable, there's less anxiety surrounding it. Right.
Now, so I will warn you that I did order food in. I obviously didn't cook, but yeah, it arrived too early. So there was still, even not cooking, a
warming up
amount of stress.
Yeah. Warming up. And that, you know, again, though, that these are skills we can learn. Oh, there's also this, I know we just said don't learn how to cook, but there is a woman, I forget her name, but Life is But a Dish is her Instagram, and her commitment is to teach mothers and fathers how to cook simply, easy, and she has a course you can take, and she has 28 recipes that you can download, you can buy and download, and it gives everything. And last night I was like, I'll give this a fucking shit a shot. And I did a penne chicken bake that took me literally 10 minutes to put together.
Wow.
And everybody liked it.
And see, here's the thing. I love cooking.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't do it all that often, but I really do enjoy cooking for my family. But I still put that over there when it comes to like,
it's not entertaining. No, that's not entertaining. That's making your life easier day by day, and hopefully not serving your. I mean, I've been giving some really gross things to my family from the beginning of the pandemic.
But listen, but it's also enjoyable to me. I actually do enjoy the process. But I also know, again, it like know thyself. Like, I can't put that on my plate.
Literally, figuratively,
and set it at a tablescape. You're,
you can't.
And I won't.
And you shouldn't. At 4 o'clock, I'm done. Mommy's done. I'm done.
Yes,
I can barely get to that bed. I just want that bed.
Now, listen, as I was talking to my doctor over my, you know, while I had COVID, and he was asking me like any other concerns. And I was like, well, I used to be able to like work at night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've never been able to. I'm done with working.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
See, I used to be able to wake up. Well, I used to also wake up early, but I had these two ends of the day where I felt like I could get things done, and that's gone for me.
You need to honor that experience, because I now wake up early because I think anxiety just wakes me up at 5 a.m. You know, I run in the moonlight. You know that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
And there were some there were some people skittering about at 5:30 in the morning that I just thought,
I bet
this is a brush with death, probably. But yeah, I run in the moonlight. That's
wow,
when I saw
Jess.
That raccoon that I thought was a dog, a schnauzer, and I went up to it. Lennon was like, I said, Lennon, do you think, let me do a quiz for you on how well you know me. Do you think that I took a couple steps towards it to see if it was maybe tame? And if it had taken steps towards me, do you think I would have pet it? And she said, absolutely. You would have pet that thing.
I would have answered the same.
Of course you would have, Jess.
Knowing that happened in the moonlight actually does make me feel a little bit better because I thought it was in like the broad daylight.
No, it's at 5:30 in the morning. It was having itself a drink at, you know, at a little, you know, place that always gathers
water.
Well,
it was. Yeah, because it was in, you know, for him or her.
That's the end
of business. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like stopping to get a final nightcap.
Yes.
And it was like, you're in my world now, bitch. Like, it gave me a look like, you're in my world. I'm not afraid of you. And I'm certainly not going to stop getting my drink of water. That's why I thought maybe this thing is tame. And I got to see if I can interact with it.
No, because he was like, these are my streets.
Yes. He was also enormously overweight. He waddled away like, I'm not even going to run away, bitch. Like, you can run away.
Yes, watch me go.
Also, I'm not tame, so don't fucking walk toward, don't step to me, because I'm not tame.
Jessica, please be careful out there. I did not know you were running in the moonlight.
Dan
please
doesn't like
be
it.
Careful.
Doesn't like it. So I wake everybody up, you know, basically, but then I'm gone. So listening to my self-help podcast in the moonlight.
How long of a run do you go on?
Well, you know, I stop every couple blocks, you know.
Yeah.
And send an email or two. But yeah, I get out of there by 5:40.
It's a working run.
Yeah, come back
God
at 6:30.
God bless you.
Yeah, and I don't run fast.
God bless you.
I don't even really sweat. But I get to that water and back, you know. And by the
I
time.
I love this, actually.
Yeah. I don't like working out in the sunlight. I don't want to be hot ever. And I don't want my eyes to, you know, have to squint. I don't want the elements. And in the moonlight, there is none, you know?
Well, there are. There are the creatures, you know, of the night who are still out and about.
I'm shocking them. I'm shocking the people as much as they're shocked, you know, shocking me. That's the truth. They're also like, who is this crazy person running at this hour, you know? I'm doing my rounds, you know?
Wow, Jess. You know, we've talked about having shared cows and stuff, but I do. It's so always fascinating to me to hear about people's schedules. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
And of course, by 4 o'clock, you're donezo. How could you not
it's
be?
Done. That's.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm just done. I've lived such a lifetime, you know?
Yeah. By 6 a.m., you've lived.
That's right.
You've interacted with, like, you know, the wilderness,
the flora and the fauna.
The fauna. Okay, deep divers, thank you so much for listening to this recap ep. And again, next week might be a recap of this recap. But
and thank you, too, for posting. You know, we're going for our million listeners a month.
That's the goal.
And
honestly, I feel we're closer.
100%. And people are putting their vibes out there. They're posting about it. They're sharing it with their friends. A lot of people are saying, like, if you're not listening to this, what are you doing?
You know, a lot of shaming, which, you know, I'm not opposed to.
I'm here for it. So I appreciate that, deep divers. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing your scapes.
Oh, you know? Love seeing them. They really were the COVID content that I needed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I deeply, deeply appreciate it. And Jess, what a pleasure to see you as always.
Always.
I just can't get enough, you know. I really can't. I really can't. I cannot get enough. Deep divers, have a wonderful week. The fun is back on, and we will, it really is. And we'll see you next week.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
secrets will we keep? It's June and Jessica, going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support the show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.